So this is the second of two lectures on company financing. Yesterday we looked at the reasons why companies have to raise finance and the ways in which they might do it. And I drew a clear distinction between internal sources of financing versus external sources. Can I remind you? The internal source of financing is retained earnings, and retained earnings is an example of equity. Myers' pecking order hypothesis, which is based on empirical observation of what a large number of companies have typically been doing, but is also informed by some theoretical modelling. Myers' pecking order hypothesis suggests to us that companies go to retained earnings first. So internal funding is the first port of call. When they've all but exhausted the internal sources of funding, they have to look outside of themselves. And empirical observation suggests that they go first for debt and only additional equity as a last resort. So what I told you yesterday was, when they look outside of themselves for external financing, first port of call is typically bank loans, which is an example of debt. If that fails or dries up, then they have to look to the capital markets to raise additional debt financing, typically by issuing corporate bonds. If that's not possible, or they can't raise the sums of money that they were planning to through the debt capital markets, then the final resort is to additional equity. And in the UK, a company that already has shareholders, so has an existing shareholder base, and wishes to raise significant amounts of additional financing. What do I mean by significant? I mean at least 5% of its existing equity. If they want to raise at least another 5% in the form of equity, they must do it via a rights issue. That's the rules and regulations. So this is important. In the UK, the rights issue method is important as a way for companies to raise additional equity financing. They already have equity in their capital structure. They already have shares. So a rights issue is an attempt to introduce additional units of the same type of shares. The additional shares will be no different from the existing shares. We're just going to have more of them. They're going to be sold. And in selling them, that's how the company raises its additional financing. And I need you to understand the rights issue method. And there's a couple of questions on the seminar sheet next week about the rights issue. One is a discussion type question that encourages you to find out a bit more yourselves about the rights issue and to answer some questions. And the second of the questions is a numerical problem solving exercise to give you some practice in the sort of calculation that I'm going to walk you through now in this lecture. So, are we clear? A rights issue is an example of a seasoned equity offering. The equity already exists, it's seasoned. We're going to expand the equity base. We're going to issue additional shares. So it's a seasoned equity offering as distinct from an initial public offering. There already are shares in this company. In the rights issue method, rights are allocated to existing shareholders only. What are these rights? These rights refer to the opportunity to buy additional shares in the company at a fixed price. Not at the market price that the shares are currently trading, at a fixed price, which, as you can well anticipate, will be set at a discount to the existing market price. How many such shares, new shares, can existing shareholders buy? How many such rights are they allocated? Answer: the rights are allocated in proportion to how many shares they already own in the company. So the idea is not to upset the balance. Someone who currently owns 1% of the company's existing shares will be allocated the right to buy additional new shares, and if they take up those rights, they'll still end up owning 1% of the company's shares, but it'll be 1% of a bigger total. So provided all of the existing shareholders take up their rights, and I'll explain in more detail shortly what that means, provided each of the existing shareholders goes along with the story, there the percentage of the company's shareholding that they own will not change. And that's a key design feature behind the rights issue. The company doesn't want to adjust the relative importance. Remember what I told you yesterday, that shares confer voting rights. Well, the company doesn't want to alter the balance in terms of how much say does this particular shareholder have? How much say does this other shareholder have? Provided they take up their rights in full, their relative importance as shareholders won't change. They'll end up owning the same percentage as before, but it will be the same percentage of a bigger total, because now there will be additional shares in the marketplace. The company is introducing additional shares. It's a key design feature that this offer is made only to existing shareholders. We're not having any outsiders gatecrashing the party, at least not to begin with. So key characteristics of a rights issue are the following. One, the rights refer to the opportunity to buy additional freshly minted shares at a discount to the prevailing market price. This offer is only made to existing shareholders, and the number of rights that they are allocated are in strict proportion to however many shares in the company they already own. The new shares that will be introduced as a result are indistinguishable from the existing shares. It's just more of the same. That's why it's a seasoned equity offering. We're offering additional units of something that's already in existence. It's seasoned. How long do existing shareholders have to make up their mind? Because this is an option, they choose whether to play along or not. The company can't force them. Typically, it's between 3 and 5 weeks. So the rights issue period typically runs for between 3 and 5 weeks. It varies from company to company. The company that's having the rights issue will be advised by an investment bank about a number of features, one of which is, how long should we give our shareholders to make up their mind? I've already said that the new shares are to be offered at a discount. And that's by way of incentive. That's by way of encouragement to the existing shareholders to dig into their pockets, find some additional cash, and to buy the shares. So at first sight, this looks like a deal that's too good to refuse. Because it would appear this is money for nothing. Here is the opportunity to acquire additional assets, additional shares in the company, at a discount to the prevailing market price. But that's only one half of the story, as we'll see. Because the introduction of additional shares into the marketplace inevitably forces the share price down. It's a dilution effect. Again, we'll see how this works in more detail shortly. But what I'm saying to you by way of preface is, at first sight, it looks too good to refuse. The opportunity to buy something on the cheap. The opportunity to participate in the rights issue and to acquire additional shares at a discount. And all of that's true. But one outcome of the rights issue, because additional shares are being introduced into the marketplace, the share price falls. And would you believe it? what existing shareholders gain from being able to buy new shares at a discount is exactly cancelled by what they lose in terms of the value of their existing shareholding. Because the share price of existing shares and new shares, they're indistinguishable, remember, the share price inevitably falls because of this dilution effect. The dilution effect simply refers to introducing additional shares in the company into the marketplace. The rights issue is designed so that this happens. It swings and roundabouts. What the existing shareholders gain from being able to buy new shares at a discount is exactly offset by how much they lose in terms of the value of their existing shares. And as we'll see shortly, the terms of the rights issue, and I'll explain what that means shortly, the terms of the rights issue are set so that this offset, this cancellation, happens precisely. It's very important, however, that outsiders don't get a look in. Provided the rights issue is restricted to existing shareholders, then we can look at those shareholders as people or institutions with two pockets. In this pocket are the existing shares, currently trading at whatever the prevailing market price is. As a result of the rights issue introducing additional shares into the marketplace, the share price will go down, as we'll see. And the total value that's in this pocket will go down. The market value of the existing shares will fall because the share price will fall. However, in the other pocket will be stored the new shares. And that adds value for the shareholder because he or she or it is able to buy them at a discount. And the terms of the rights issue are worked out so that whatever we gain in value in this pocket is exactly cancelled by what we lose in value in this pocket. But it's crucial that the same person or institution has both pockets. If outsiders were allowed to play the game, there would be a transfer of wealth. These new investors would be able to enjoy the opportunity to buy new shares in this company at a discount, and because they didn't own any existing shares to begin with, there's nothing to suffer a loss in value on. That would be a problem. That's why the party is restricted to existing shareholders only. It swings and roundabouts. What we gain from being able to buy new shares at a discount is exactly cancelled by what we lose on our existing shareholding, as we'll see. So that's the explanation for why it's restricted to existing shareholders only. Does it always work? Not necessarily. It's a bit like online group discussions. The poor man goes to all conceivable limits to design it in such a way that everyone will participate. But it doesn't work that way. There's always one or two that don't. So the poor man is left to wonder, now in the sixth year of this exercise, what has he still not got right? Okay. In the context of the rights issue, it relies on each of the existing shareholders playing their part, taking up their rights. But they can't be made to take up their rights. So if they fold their arms and decide, I'm not interested, I'm not putting up any additional money to buy new shares, possibly because I don't have that money, possibly because I'm happy with the shareholding I have in this company, I don't want any additional shares in this company, that's a problem for the company. Because at the end of the day, why is the company having the rights issue? Answer, to raise additional capital. It has uses in mind for that capital, typically capital projects to invest in, so it needs to raise the money. If not all of the shareholders play ball, there's going to be a shortfall. the company won't be able to raise all of the money it was intending. That's a problem. Can it do anything about this? Yes. And again, as the story unfolds, we'll see there's more than one thing the company can do. One of the things the company can do is buy insurance. Except we don't call it insurance in this context, we call it underwriting. So the company can pay, it's typically an investment bank, or more likely a syndicate of investment banks. The company can hire an institution to underwrite the issue. Now, what does that mean? It means, to the extent that some shareholders, existing shareholders, don't participate, the underwriter will mop up those extra shares. In other words, the underwriter will buy them. So at the end of the day, the company still raises all of the financing it wished. Well, if only it was that simple. I haven't yet encountered an underwriter who does this out of charity. The underwriter charges a fee. As it turns out, a hefty fee. So the company has to appreciate, if it's going to have the rights issue underwritten, it won't actually be able to raise quite the amount of capital at once, because some of that capital will be consumed in fees to the underwriter. It's just like paying an insurance premium on a policy to insure your house against being burned down or being burgled. So we'll also have to look a little bit at this notion of underwriting. But rights issues don't have to be underwritten. That's a decision for the company. So let's look at a numerical example. So the story I have in mind is a company that already has shareholders. Let's keep it simple. You might want to write this down on the slide. To keep the story as simple as possible, let's assume there's no debt in the firm's capital structure. So there are no lenders in this story. The company I have in mind is all equity financed. Now that will make more sense to us when we get into the lectures on capital structure. But just to keep the story as simple as possible, no debt, it's all equity. There are currently 2 million shares in existence in this company, and they're currently trading at £1 each. So the first thing we can say, and I hope you would think of this for yourself, is already we know the market capitalisation of this firm, the market value of the equity. Because each share is trading at £1, there are 2 million of them, multiply those two numbers together, the market capitalisation of the company currently is £2 million. Because there is no debt in the story, that market value of equity is also the market value of the company. There isn't anything else making up this company's financing. So the company wants to raise additional financing. In the story, it wants to raise an additional £1 million by issuing new shares. If you look at the top of the column in the middle of the table, you'll see the terms of the rights issue. In this case, it's a one-for-one. Now, what does that mean? It means, for every one existing share, that's the right-hand number, for every one existing shareholders have the opportunity to buy one new share. So maybe you want to write down on the slide, one new for one existing. Those are the terms of the rights issue, or that's part of the terms. I'm going to tell you a little bit more in a minute. We already have 2 million shares in existence, and we're proposing to issue one new share for every existing share, so we're going to end up issuing an additional 2 million shares. We've already got 2 million shares, and the terms of the rights issue is each existing shareholder should be offered one new share, the opportunity to buy one new share, for every existing one share. So assuming all of these new shares are taken up, all of the rights are taken up, that brings into existence a further 2 million shares. Before the rights issue, we were looking at a company with 2 million shares and a company that was worth £2 million. The company is raising an additional £1 million, so now its total worth is £3 million. £2 million plus the extra £1 million. Whereas previously there were 2 million shares, now there are 4 million shares. So now we can start to deduce some important numbers. We are raising an additional £1 million by issuing a further 2 million shares. So there's no argument here. The price at which we're offering the new shares must be 50 pence. Because 2 million shares sold at 50 pence raises £1 million. And you might like to write down again somewhere on the slide, we are ignoring issue costs. No market frictions. This is a perfect world. No transactions costs, no market frictions. All of the money that we wish to raise, we do raise. We started with a company worth £2 million. We end up with a company worth £3 million. We used to have a company worth £2 million and with 2 million shares. We end up with a company worth £3 million and 4 million shares. All of those 4 million shares are identical. So now I can deduce the market price of those shares. 4 million shares in total account for £3 million in value. So the new share price after the rights issue must be 75 pence. That £3 million in total is spread equally across the 4 million shares. So in this particular rights issue, we have introduced, on a one-for-one basis, one new share for every one existing share, at 50 pence. This is known as the issue price. The new shares are being sold to existing shareholders only at 50p a shout. As a result of this rights issue, the company raises an additional £1 million and the share price of the company drops. And I told you it would drop. Because of the dilution effect, introducing additional shares into the marketplace, the share price in this case drops from £1 to 75 pence. The bottom line in the table is the value of the right to buy one new share. It's the value of that right at the point where the rights issue is about to end. So just before the referee blows the final whistle, this is your last acceptance date, folks. Leave it another day and it's too late. What is the value of being allocated this right? Well, the right in this case is the right to acquire a new share that will be worth 75 pence, and it'll only cost you 50 pence to acquire it. So the value embedded in the right to do that is the difference between those two numbers, 25p. But it's important, and again, maybe you should underline this, it's important that you stress the words at expiry. This is only true at the last point in the rights issue period. There's a seminar question that invites you to think about how might the value of the right change before expiry. It's more complicated. Now it's your turn. Now I want you to go through the same exercise again, but now I've changed the terms of the rights issue. Now it's a 2-for-3 rights issue. In other words, for every package of 3 existing shares, the shareholders have the right to buy 2 new shares. So it's 2 new for every 3 existing. We start with the same company, 2 million shares. The shares are currently trading at £1, so again the company is worth £2 million in total. Again, the company wishes to raise an additional £1 million. The first thing you've got to ask yourself is, how many new shares will it issue? And you work that out by going back up to the top of the column and reminding yourself of the terms of the rights issue. For every 3 existing shares, this company is going to issue an additional 2 new shares. Well, there are 2 million shares to begin with, so we're going to introduce into the marketplace an additional 2/3 × 2 million. 2/3 × 2 million, that's 1/3 million. We are raising £1 million in additional capital by issuing 1/3 million new shares. So now you can deduce, at what price are the new shares being offered for sale? What is the issue price? And the answer is £1 million divided by 1/3 million shares. That works out at 75 pence. So, now I can tell you the terms of the rights issue precisely. It's 2/3, two new shares for every 3 existing shares, struck at 75p, issued at 75p. In the previous example we worked through, it was a 1-for-1 rights issue at 50p. Now it's a 2-for-3 rights issue at 75p. As in the previous example, we started with 2 million shares. Now we're introducing an additional 1/3 million shares, so we end up in total with 3/3 million shares. All of those shares, regardless of whether they were existing shares or new shares, they're all identical. And in particular, they have the same market value. Now we can deduce what that market value is, because the company started off being worth £2 million, raised a further £1 million, so in total, the company is now worth £3 million, as it was in the previous example. But now that £3 million is being spread evenly over a total of 3 1/3 million shares. So now the share price that we emerge with is 90 pence. So the numbers are different because the terms of the rights issue have changed. But once again, we observe that the introduction of these new shares at a discount to the prevailing market price, the prevailing market price was £1, the effect of introducing additional shares at a discount is to push the share price down. In this case, it's pushed down to 90 pence. But again, existing shareholders will see a drop in value in their existing shares. It's inevitable. We just have to think a little bit harder. When we think about the value of the right, we've got to be very careful what we mean. And this often causes confusion. And the textbooks don't make my life easier. Because depending on which textbook you read, you come across a different way of thinking about a right. So I want you to understand that I mean by the word right, and again, you might want to write this down, I'm talking about the right to buy one new share. The right to buy one new share. Do you see that in the first example, you need one existing share in order to be able to do that? Do you see in the second example, you need to have 1.5 shares in order to be able to buy one new share? 2/3 is the same as 1/1.5. Now, of course, you can't own half a share. But effectively, you need to own already 1.5 shares to have the right to buy one new share. The value of that right, again, it's the difference between the share price at the end of the rights period, the market price of the shares, in this case that's 90 pence, the difference between that and the issue price. So that right, in the second example, is the right to acquire an asset that will be worth 90 pence, and it's only going to cost you 75 pence. So the value of the right is 15 pence. It's different from the previous example. Now the tricky bit. You need to persuade yourselves that the swings and roundabouts are true. So let's go through it again in terms of swings and roundabouts. The first thing I want you to ask yourself is, In the one-for-one example, how much do you stand to gain from buying one new share at a discount? The answer is 25p. You've got the chance to buy an asset that's worth 75p and it costs you only 50p, so this pocket experiences an uplift of 25p. Let's convince ourselves that that's exactly cancelled by the drop in value in the other pocket. And so it is, because sitting in the other pocket is one existing share which was previously trading at £1 but which is now only trading at 75p. So, the discount of 25p, the amount by which I'm able to buy the one new share, the discount at which I'm able to do that, is exactly cancelled by the drop of 25p in the value of my one existing share. They cancel. There's the swings and roundabouts working. It's easy to see it when the terms of the rights issue are one for one. So now we have to be switched on to check that it's also true in the 2-for-3 case. So what I want you to think about now is, suppose we've got 3 existing shares in this pocket. So the story starts, again, with each of those shares being worth £1. So to begin with, I've got 3 existing shares in this pocket, worth £3 in total. I've got nothing in the other pocket yet. Because I own 3 existing shares, I'm going to be allocated the right to buy 2 new shares at a discount. How big is the discount? Right. The discount is 15p. I get to buy 2 new shares at a discount of 15p per share, so this pocket gains in value by 30 pence. 2 lots of discount, 2 lots of 15. What have I got in the other pocket? 3 existing shares. And each existing share sees its share price drop from £1 to 90 pence. So each of the 3 existing shares in this pocket drops by 10p, from £1 to 90 pence. But I've got 3 of them in all, so the total drop in value in this pocket is 3 lots of 10 pence, 30 pence. I drop in value by 30 pence in this pocket where I store my existing shares. In my other pocket, where I start to place the new shares, each new share comes at a discount of 15p. So the total gain is 2 lots of 15, 30p. And again, the swings and roundabouts. What I gain from being able to buy new shares at a discount is exactly cancelled by the drop in value in my original shareholding. And it's always that way in a rights issue. And that's what the next slide is demonstrating in general. So it's a good idea by way of warm-up to go through the numerical example, do it in a couple of different situations, different terms for the rights issue, so that now we're ready to look at the general case. It looks frightening because there's lots of symbols floating around, but it isn't actually that frightening. So, we don't have a visualizer working. So, what can we do? Actually, I don't have a pen to use that. That's no good. I'll have to use the board. I hope you can see. Do I have a pen to use the board? A red pen. We're a bit limited today. I hope this is visible. It's the only pen I've got with me. I can't get the visualizer to work. There's a timeline. There's a share price. There's a share price to begin with. This refers to shares that have rights attached to them. Because we're an existing shareholder, we are allocated rights. So there's additional value for a short period of time associated with these shares. I hope I've convinced you that after the rights period is over, by which time the shares have disgorged these rights have been exercised, they're no longer inside the belly of the shares. I hope I've convinced you with my numerical example that the share price inevitably falls. There's one other number in the story, because I've only got one colour with me, I'll put it as a broken line. That's the issue price. So for instance, in that first example, the share price starts at £1. The share price drops to 75p because new shares are being issued at 50 pence. So in the first example, this level is £1, this level is 75p, this level is 50p. In general, the three numbers stack up relative to one another exactly as I've shown you. The rights issue, in general, the rights issue is one new share for big N existing shares. One new share for N existing shares. In our first example, big N was 1. In our second example, big N was 1.5. It was 2 new shares for 3 existing shares. That's the same thing as 1 for 1.5. So we start the story by owning N existing shares. And those existing shares have rights attached to them, so they're more valuable because of that. And I call that share price the cum rights share price. It refers to the price of the shares when they have rights attached to them. So my total shareholding to begin with is given by this product. In my first numerical example on the previous slide, it was 1 for 1. So I start with a single existing share that's trading at £1. So it's 1 times £1. In the second example, it's a 1 for 1.5, effectively. So N is 1.5. Again, the share price starts at £1. What do I have to do as an existing shareholder if I want to play? I have to put up the issue price. For every N shares I currently own, I have the opportunity to buy one additional share at a discount. That requires me to put up cash. How much cash? Answer, the issue price. In the first example, that was 50p. In the second example, that was 75p. Whatever. So what do I bring to the story? I bring my existing N shares that are currently trading at what's called the cum rights share price, and I top that up with an amount of cash equal to the issue price. What do I end up with? I end up with one additional share. Remember, it's a 1 for N rights issue. All of those shares, the N existing shares and the one new share, are identical. And in particular, they have the same share price. But now we're looking at the share price immediately after the rights period is over, and that's what I call the X rights share price. So again, in my two numerical examples, where I had 1 for 1 struck at 50p, big N was 1, the share price started as £1, the issue price was 50p, or if you like, 0.5 of a pound. I went from having 1 share to having 2 shares. I acquired an additional share, and both shares ended up trading at 75p. So in the first example, this is 1, this is 1, £1, this is 50p, or 0.5, N plus 1 is 2, and this is 75p or 0.75. In the second example, big N is 1.5. The share price beforehand is £1. Now I'm being asked to put up 75p or 0.75 of £1 in order to pay for the new share. I go from having 1.5 shares effectively to having an extra 1, so now that's 2.5. And they're all trading at 90 pence or 0.9. So that's the general case. That's the result you need to know. So what do we see is happening? What we see is happening is that value is neither being lost nor created. What's happening is that value is being transferred from one pocket, where the existing shares were, to the other pocket, where the new shares are going to sit. Provided it's the same person or the same institution that owns both pockets, there's no problem. There's neither a gain nor a loss in value. Let's rearrange this equation. Let's rearrange it. Let's expand these brackets on the right-hand side. And then let's collect terms. So let's bring together the two terms that involve big N. And let's take out big N as a common factor. Let's take the issue price term onto the right-hand side so it changes sign. So here's the general result. On the right-hand side, I have the discount. The discount available if I buy one new share. It costs me the issue price in order to acquire an asset, a new share, that's trading at the X rights price. So my gain is the discount. That's in this pocket, and I'm happy. The problem is, something else is happening at the same time to my N existing shares. They started off trading at the cum rights price. Their price drops to the X rights price. So the expression in the brackets is how much I lose in value on each of my existing shares. But I've got N of them. So my total loss in value in this pocket, where I store the existing shares, is given by this product. And what we're seeing is true in general is what I gain from being able to buy new shares at a discount is exactly matched by what I lose in value on my existing shares. And it's meant to be that way. But in order for it to work, we have to be talking about the same investors. We can't allow new investors into the story. And that's the key difference between the rights issue method that the UK insists on and other methods such as placement, or as it's known, placing, that is allowed in other jurisdictions. Because if we allow other investors to come into the story, in other words, if we confer the opportunity to buy new shares at a discount to investors who are not already shareholders, there's going to be a transfer of wealth. And that's why existing shareholders only are allowed to participate in the rights issue.